And good afternoon, Welcome to Dick's Wings on the north side at intersection of New Berlin and Yellow Bluff Road. Yours truly, Ron Compton here. Glad to have you along with us on this Mother's Day weekend, and we are absolutely going to celebrate moms. I tell you, man, I'm sure am thankful to, for my mom, and I'm sure you guys are out there listening as well. You know, I look around the bar, and a nice gathering here thus far for a little lunchtime specials here and drink specials, bucket specials. But what I don't see is Chuck Elliott. I mean, I don't know, Michael. I mean, to me, if I call, I'm not going to say I'm Chuck's boss, but yeah, I'm his damn boss, okay? All right? So typically, if I called my boss on like a Tuesday and said, hey, boss, I might have plans this weekend. I may be going out of town, but I might check in with you at some point. But I'll let you know. I'll give you a little warning. I'll let you know what's going on. Typically, wouldn't you think that between like then and now, I don't know, get a phone call, text message. Hey, Ron. Hey, I'll be there. I'm not going to be there. You know, bleep you, whatever. I hate you. You know, you make fun of me. you call me a loser and an idiot and all those things. But all those things are true, by the way. They're all true. But no. And here's the thing, man, is, you know, I love to talk. There's no doubt about that. I'm in sales. I'm on the radio. I love this stuff.
Yeah.
But this weekend, I mean, I'd love for Chuck to be right here and let him communicate just a little bit, because as you can tell, my voice is a little gone right now.
Yeah.
A little bit. Now, I mean, I think I can manage for the next, I don't know, 2 hours, but with the help of one Michael Phillips, I guess.
What are you doing? Doing too much karaoke or something?
Well, no. This will explain it, man. So I've got a very busy weekend. You know, I coach baseball, right?
Coach baseball.
And had a game last night. A damn near 3 hour game last night.
Oh wow!
So obviously, I'm coaching third base, and I mean, here's the deal, man. I was a long time coach at Arlington Little League, and love that place. I mean, I coached there from my older son now, Ronnie. He's 20 years old. He was 5 when I become affiliated with that ballpark, and coached there until my younger son Dallas. He's now 15. I coached there until he was 13. So I mean, I was there for a long time, man. I mean, I was there 12, 13 years.
Putting in
a lot of work. Well, a couple of seasons ago, go inside the business here. My older son, he was a senior in high school, and it was his last year of high school baseball. So I told my younger son, "Hey, look, I'm not going to coach you this season because I don't want to shortchange your older brother. I want to follow him around and soak every last ounce of his senior season in." Right? I mean, just that's what dads do.
Yeah, I feel you.
And younger son, "That's cool, Dad. No problem." And I was going to sign him up at Arlington as long as someone was going to coach a team, right? And because here's the deal. I live on the north side now, right down the road from this great Dick's Wings establishment. And their mom lives in Bartram Springs, so neither of which are in the Arlington Little League, you know,
the
area,
zone, yeah.
Right? They're not zoned differently. But because my younger son had never played anywhere else, during the spring, it was an easy waiver. I just get a waiver, keep coaching, keep playing, all is cool. Well, that year, two springs ago, Arlington didn't field a team, so he couldn't play. So he didn't play at all.
Dang.
Well, but then, as the season went along, my older son was about to wrap up his school ball season. I mean, there was like one game left. I had a very dear friend of mine call me who was battling throat cancer. And my buddy Mike said, "Hey, Ronnie, man." He goes, "Look, dude." He goes, "You know, my cancer's getting really aggressive, and they've asked me to coach his junior team at San Mateo. I took it on because I love the kids and I want to give back." And he said, "Man," he said, I don't know that I can do it myself. Will you come help me?" I said, "You know, let me talk to my younger son. If he's on board with the plan, I'll absolutely do it." Well, so My son said, y'all play, so he did, I did. Well, that means now I'm over there, played a spring season away from Arlington, so I can't go back, right? Can't go back.
Yeah.
So now I'm at San Mateo, love it there as well, you know, love it, love the people, great folks over here. Well, guess who obviously is in the San Mateo, you know, district? Arlington Little League.
Oh, so you got to face them
now. So now I've got to face them.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks ago, I went over to Arlington, had to coach, and had to get in that visitor dugout for the first time in my life.
Wow!
And we won. We won, and then we played them at our park last night, and we won that game. But it was close early. So now you know when my voice is gone because there's a lot of yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
Because I did not want to lose to my former park.
Can't do that. Man.
You know, and then today, how about today? I've got another doubleheader today when I leave here. Rush home, get my stuff. Out to Baker County I go for a doubleheader.
Man.
So busy weekend. So you know now that I'd love nothing more than have Chuck Elliott here. No other reason for me to, like, thump him in the head or something. I don't
just,
know.
Just fill some timer.
Yeah. You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, so a lot to cover. Now that the NFL draft is behind us, the schedule's being released Wednesday. Busy week. And I knew I'd do this. I knew the homer that I can be at times. I knew that I would do this. Last week's question, one of the poll questions was, you threw out in Twitterverse, was number of wins, right? Zero to five,
yeah, it was like
six to eight, and then nine or above, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Well, I've now convinced myself the Jaguars are winning 10 games.
Oh, man.
I've convinced
Kool-Aid.
I knew it. I always do it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm there yet. I think they could do well. You're not going to get to 500 this year because it's an odd number of games. But
that's right.
I could see like 7 or 8 and 9. I could see that.
Yeah. Well, and here is my reason for such optimism. And let's go and throw today's two poll questions
all
out
right
there. And both Jaguar related. The first one is simple. There's no way in hell you can grade the Jaguars draft as a D or below just with the addition of Trevor Lawrence alone, right? You can't do that. So if you say if you think Trevor was the only good pick and everything else was terrible, you still get a C. Wouldn't you agree?
If
the Jaguars went in right now and they pulled a Mike Ditka years ago,
with the Ricky Williams draft,
they traded the entire draft for Ricky Williams. Obviously, a bad move. But if they traded their entire draft, and the only time they came out and said with the first pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Jaguars take Trevor Lawrence, quarterback, Clemson, and you never heard from them the rest of the draft, I'd still give them a B. But I'm going to go, okay, well, just for people, you know, for entertainment purposes here, A, B, or C. And A, no, and you can throw it. There's no minuses or pluses. It's an A,
yeah,
B, or C. A, B, or C. And then the other is, with the schedule being released on Wednesday, how many primetime games do the Jacksonville Jaguars get? Is it one, meaning, hey, I'll see you, Tennessee. I'm not sure if it's going to be our players or yours, but I'll see you, Tennessee. Is it just a one annual game versus Tennessee? Do we get two? Because you know what? The excitement. Hell, maybe they even open this season up on a Monday night against the Jets, right? Because they have the AFC East this year. That'd be pretty cool. So is it one? Is it two? Or is it three plus? You know what I'd love? And I'm not going to say this because I haven't drank that much Jaguars Kool-Aid yet. But wouldn't it be really, really cool if they received two prime timers, say a Monday and a Thursday,
yeah,
and then they were so damn good that week 13, 14, oh, let's see if we can flex those Jaguars into a Sunday night game.
Maybe,
now, how cool would that be? That means we're going places, big
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe like a divisional game that could decide the South between the Jags and like the Titans or the Colts or something. And yeah, that gets flexed from 1 in the afternoon and bumps off like the Eagles or somebody.
Right.
That would be very fun.
I mean, that's like dirty talk on a Saturday at noon is what that is.
Man,
the Jaguars being flexed. That'd be kind of cool. Again, I haven't drank that much Kool-Aid yet. But you know what, though? By the time the regular season's here, hell, I may have going 15-2. I mean, I don't know. Probably not.
We're on that path right now, though.
But those are your two poll questions. I'm convinced now that my Atlanta Braves, we're changing gears a little bit. We're going to come back and delve into the Jaguars and why I have so much promise. But a couple of things here. We're going to go through this day in sports history later on. The NBA got woke. Now they're about to go broke. Their ratings have, more ratings have come out, and they're absolutely just plummeting. They can't even draw 30% of what the Gonzaga Baylor game garnered.
Really?
I say a third. Here's the number for you. So Baylor Gonzaga, 17 million people watched Baylor Gonzaga.
Okay. That seems high to me.
Yeah, the NBA Finals, obviously the most recent one with LeBron James, the best player on the planet, the most popular guy, NBA player on the planet, they averaged 6.5 million viewers a game.
Wow.
All-time NBA low. Also, here's another one for you, man. So they took out, this most recent calendar year, they took out all football games, both college and professional. Took them out.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to the next top 10 rated sporting events. And now the NBA has always been known as, the second most popular sport in the country, right?
Yeah, over the last 5 years or so, that's been kind of the general consensus.
Yeah, but when you think of the big three, you always say football, basketball, baseball.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah, okay. Absolutely.
That's what you said. In that order. Comes out of your mouth. How many non-football sporting events do you think ranked in the top 10, meaning NBA games?
If we're talking regular season games, I'd say zero. But if playoffs are included, I'd say, the way that you're talking, I'd say maybe, two or three?
Zero.
Zero?
Zero.
Man.
Zero.
I like watching the NBA. I think, and we'll get into it after the break, but the ratings, especially this year, I think are affected greatly because of this stupid play-in tournament that they're trying to do.
Well, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, why would that discourage people? Okay, because really, their idea was, to increase ratings towards the end of the season to see if what teams could get into this play-in, right?
Yeah.
So maybe the players don't like it. Obviously, Bron has been a little, pissing and moaning about it. I mean, you didn't complain when you thought you were going to be number one or two seed. Now all of a sudden, oh, my gosh, we're going to be in the play-in. This sucks, right? So forget about what the players or coaches may think. Who wanted this, television wanted this, and the NBA needed this. The power brokers of the NBA thought they needed this to increase the ratings, right, to get more television dollars. So I don't think that has anything at all to do with the ratings going away. I'm telling you right now, man, look, and the NBA identified it late, maybe too late. They got woke, and now they're going broke, okay? With all the forget about what your political affiliation is here. But the facts are these. They had all the BLM stuff all over the commercials, all over the courts, all over everything, signage. All of a sudden, last year's ratings were all-time low. Nobody watched anything. Then all of a sudden this season, they took it all away. They took it all away. Oh, my God, this tanked the ratings. We got to get rid of this. Didn't help.
Yeah,
People went away and they didn't come back, man.
Yeah, politics will always hinder ratings. When I think it was Trump, a few years ago, 20, I think it was 16 when it was Trump versus Hillary in the election, the NFL had its lowest ratings in a decade. They've leaned into it, and that's whatever you feel about it, it's whatever. But yeah, it'll definitely hinder the ratings. With the play-in tournament, I do think it's affected it slightly. I think it's had the reverse effect on it, at least. From a normal viewing standpoint for regular season games, it waters it down even that much more so because these regular season games, while the end of it kind of matters for three or four teams, the rest of it still doesn't matter. And then we're getting to once we get into the postseason, now it's more than 50% of the league in the playoffs. It's so watered down that I think it means the regular season has it just means more than nothing, and it already meant nothing. So I think it may have had a slightly reverse effect on it than they were hoping.
Well, to me, though, if you're an NBA fan, you're an NBA fan, it's not going to discourage you from watching. Because really, to me, as a fan, and I've watched more NBA this year, it's funny, I'm as conservative, or really more moderate, I guess, but I lean conservative, right? But
yeah.
And there's a majority of the folks that lean that way that aren't watching. That I tell you, I'm not, heck with this. Just the opposite for me. I've watched more NBA basketball this year than I have in a long time. I really shouldn't say the NBA. I've watched the Hawks. Okay, I've been a lifelong Hawks fan, and I've watched a lot of Atlanta Hawks basketball, and I watch the Lakers only so I can root against them and give my son a hard time. I mean, that's just what I do. I mean, that's how it is.
I've watched a little bit more this year because the Sixers, I'm a big Sixers fan, and they're so good. They're first place in the East now.
Well, there you go, right?
Yeah, so, it's a lot more fun to watch when your team's great.
And you want to wait, I think, 8 games in a row now.
Yeah.
But so I'll say this is I don't really, but other than that, I haven't really thought about the play-in stuff until the last week. So to me, and maybe you're right, and it's sort of had an adverse effect and it's hurt ratings a little bit. But I don't think it's helped or hurt. I don't think it's encouraged. Man, we got to watch more because of, oh my gosh, this play-in stuff. I don't think it's hurt any because it's watered in. I'm not going to watch it. I didn't even give it a second thought until the last 7 to 10 days, when that's all the talk. And the reason that there's a lot of talk is because of the Lakers.
Yeah,
and the Lakers are probably going to be in it.
They're the 6th seed now because
they're the 7 now.
Are they the 7?
Oh, yeah. They got beat by Portland last night.
Yeah,
and
they lost a tiebreaker. They don't have
a tiebreaker. And a tiebreaker, yes. And not only Portland has their head by one game, and they get the tiebreaker, meaning they've got a 2-game edge.
Yeah.
What that means. All right, we're going to step aside for a break. Twitter poll questions are about to be loaded, and they're simple. They're these: Jaguars draft A, B, or C. Primetime, the NFL schedule will be released on Wednesday. One game, Hello Tennessee, again, our annual meeting on a Thursday night. Two games, Trevor Urban, 1 + 1 = 2. Or three or more, let's get rolling, boys and girls. So we're going to discuss that, and I'll give you some reasons why I think the Jaguars, okay, if the Jaguars don't win at least 8 games this year, the season is a failure, okay?
Ooh.
How about that? And I'll tell you why I view it as such. That's next from Dick's Wings of the North Side on 1010XL.
This is Compton & Company on 1010XL.
And welcome back to Compton & Company, coming to you from Dick's Wings on the North Side. Glad to have you along with us. Phone lines, text line, open to you at 641-1010. That's 641-1010. Bucket specials, Bud Light, Mick Ultra, $12. Bottomless Mimosas and Bloody Marys, $15. We're here on Saturdays, Monday night's poker. Wednesday night, flip night. What's that mean? Sit in the bar area for 2 hours between 7 and 9 o'clock, order a drink. You say heads or tails, bartender. Like Ryan behind the bar today. Hey, Ryan, heads. If you're right, the drink's free. If you're wrong, you just pay for your drink. And you can do that for 2 solid hours, not just one, the first drink or the second drink, for 2 hours of drinking. And my advice to you is have the Uber app ready. Have your buddy beside you. Somebody's driving. And maybe, you know what? I got an idea. You flip a coin with your buddy. Right?
There you go.
The winner drinks, the loser drives. That's simple. I mean, the loser drinks water like I'm drinking right now and watch the winner just tear it up. Absolutely tear it up. All right, so that's Wednesday nights, live music on Friday nights, and I heard last night. I missed last night because I was coaching like crazy, didn't get home till 11:30, And of course, then a doubleheader today after the show. So I didn't roll in last night. But I heard the band Lily, who's our server here, said the band last night was fantastic. So anyway, so that's what goes on here every week at Dick's Wings. All right, the two poll questions we have out right now, Michael, are what? And what do we have thus far?
All right, so let's see. All right, our first one is, what grade would you give the Jaguars draft? We got A, B, and C are the options. So far, already 62 votes, so a lot of people involved in this one. Got 54.8% say it's a B, and then 45.2% give it an A, and 0% give it a C.
Wow, so no haters yet.
No haters quite yet. No.
I guess our Dolphin Gary hasn't voted.
No, I guess not.
Although, you know what, I'll say that. I take a little shot, but actually what's crazy, the last couple of calls we've got from Dolphin Gary, he's been sort of pro-Jack
really
a little
has
bit,
been.
Hasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
He's coming around. I don't know. Man, maybe he's drinking some of that
it's
Kool-Aid.
It's the Urban and Trevor effect. It's getting
yes,
to
it
him.
Yes, it is. And then, second question?
Yeah, our second poll question is, with the additions of Urban and Trevor, how many primetime games do you think the Jags will have? They notoriously only ever get the one Thursday night game, which is an obligation by the league, so basically zero.
Actually, you know what? I thought that it was that way for a while, but that's not true.
No,
there's
it's
like,
not?
There's like 3 years ago, the Jaguars and the Browns were the only two teams like 3 or 4 years ago that got no primetime games.
Man.
I remember that. Like you said, for a while it was mandated. When they expanded the primetime schedule and went Sunday, Monday, Thursday each and every week, they did say, hey, it's mandatory. But then they took that. That went away. He said 50 years back that the Browns and Jags didn't have a primetime game. I'm not sure if they put it back in effect now where you have to have at least one, but there was 1 year. I was like, wow. Because I was like you. I said, wait a minute. There's no primetime game?
Man.
Wait a minute. That's mandatory. Right?
Yeah.
I guess not.
Yeah, because they always pair up like every team for at least one Thursday night game to keep like scheduling fair. If you don't have a Thursday night game, then you might have a little bit of an advantage throughout the next few weeks of the season or whatever. But anyway, our second poll question of the day is, so how many primetime games do you think the Jags will have? One, two, or three or more? The overriding one right now is 57.1% say they'll have two games. So we got that. And then 31.4% say one, and then 11.4% think three or more.
Well, maybe they think they're hoping they get flexed as well.
Yeah, that'd be great.
how awesome would that be? So I said before the break, I threw out there that if the Jaguars don't win at least eight games, the season is a failure, right? That's what I said.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now the only thing that would make me come back off that a little bit is the schedule's pretty tough. It's not an easy schedule. I mean, when you look at your away opponents, you look at obviously the divisional game, Tennessee, Indy, and Houston. Houston's—I've got to think—is they'll be in the tank.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking 2-14 for them.
Yeah, the Titans, we'll see. You know, first Yuli product, Derrick Henry is unbelievable, but at some point in time, he'll hit that wall and. Look, Arthur Smith is gone. The guy that got everything out of Ryan Tannehill, he's now the head coach of Atlanta Falcons. So I look at Tennessee taking a bit of a step back. I'm not sure how much, but I don't think it'll be the same Tennessee Titans we've seen over the course of the last two seasons. And then the Colts. Look, that's all about can Frank Reich reinvent the wheel and can he get a lot of Carson Wentz like he did when he was his coordinator. In Philadelphia. So that's the division. So the division, boy, I think it's just the division is average at best, right? Average. I don't think the division is very daunting at all. I think everyone's taking a bit of a step back with the exception of the Jaguars, and they're going to take a leap forward. Then I look at them, then they have the Patriots away. We'll see. I know the Patriots, they spent a boatload of money in free agency. I mean, a boatload.
They stole
never
a tight end.
Yes, they did. And we're still looking for one.
Yeah.
Zach Ertz, anybody? Paging Zach Ertz.
I would be totally okay with it, especially with where they're at now. You could send a six-rounder for him. That'd be fine. The Eagles want to get him off. They don't want to give him a new contract. I'd be cool with maybe overpaying him just a slight bit just to bring him in here and make him happy with a good contract. And he's been a six-round pick for a guy like that. He's going to be productive. You know?
Can you get him for a six?
I don't know.
That's the key. To me, if you could get him for it, because if you could have gotten him for a six, I've got to think they would have probably given a fifth for him. If you could have gotten him for that, and they would have had him on this roster instead of the kid, the Farrell kid from Ohio State. And I'm still miffed at the fact they took him and not Brevin Jordan, tight end from Miami that went like 3 picks later.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of with that is that Brevin Jordan apparently had a horrifyingly bad pro day, and
so maybe teams got
turned off by it or something.
Oh, you know what? Here's the deal, man. I get it. I understand. He didn't test well.
Yeah.
And in a year where everybody did test well.
Yeah.
There's no combines, all the pro days. Everyone run 3.940s. Yeah. Everybody, 4.35, 4.36.
For real.
Hell, I would have ran a 4.04, this year. I mean, damn.
For real.
Everyone ran 4.3 something. But this is what I'll say to that, and I get it. They can talk about all the testing they want to. The one concern I would have with Brevin Jordan would be the injury issues in the past.
Yeah.
But if you look at how the Jaguars went in the draft, they took a bunch of guys. Two guys off
ACLs.
No
issues. Yeah,
right?
No issues with that.
They have no qualms with that at all. So back to the testing. You turn on the film when he plays. Right, and I've said this for years. The measurables, okay, as far as weight, height, that matters more to me in the game film than a guy's 40 time, his shuttle time, the cone drill, crap. It's meaningless to me.
Tight ends are meant to be fast.
Well, not just tight ends. I'm talking about wide receivers, running backs, all of them. Because think about this: Michael Phillips, me and you. We can get a couple guys here, Dick's Wings. We can roll out the parking lot. We can all run the same 40-yard dash time. You put pads on us. You put a defender in front of us. Okay? You put a helmet on us. You put a ball in our hands. It's going to change things a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Matt Jones ran a 4.38 40.
There you go.
Okay? The slowest 4.38 40 guy in the history of the world. He ran like a 5.2 on the field. So it changes.
Yeah.
Right? It changes. So give me the guy that I see making productive plays on the football field against the guy that looks good in underwear.
That's
seriously true.
Very true.
So give me that guy.
Like John Ross a few years ago, he broke the 40 record, and he can't hardly get on the field because he doesn't have great hands and he can't really run routes.
Well, remember Alvis Woodard, hands of stone. That's what I used to say Alvis Woodard had Roberto Duran hands of stone. For those of you listening, they're like under 35 years old. That was a great boxer, hands of stone. All right, so as we continue on, we were at the Patriots, and they spent all that money, something they typically don't do, but they did it because Bill Belichick said, man, we got to do this because look what Brady just did. He's won a damn Super Bowl. Where are we? The Jets, obviously, we talked about this. Wouldn't it be great if week one Monday Night Football, Jets, Jags, number one, number two picks.
Zach Wilson's wearing number two, which I find kind of funny.
That is kind of funny. Look, the Los Angeles Chargers, 7-9 last year, ascending, getting better. They could get their left tackle for Justin Herbert. They're getting better. They lost a lot of close football games. Anthony Lynn, I think now the coordinator, I believe, in Detroit, could bring a new coach in, new life, new juice. I think they're going to be a lot better. And depending upon the health of Joe Burrow, if he's 100%, Cincinnati was kind of figuring things out a little bit. I don't think they're back or anything like that. But I think that'll be a fun football game. Burrow, obviously Lawrence, and then, of course, the Seattle Seahawks, which are always tough, right? Russell Wilson, your quarterback, they're always good. There's your road game, right? So that's not an easy away schedule. Right? It's not. And then your home schedule, man. You know what? Obviously, the divisional opponents, the Bills, a lot better, obviously. Dolphins, a lot better. The Cardinals, pretty good football team with Kyler Murray and company. And San Francisco, we'll see. Right? They were just a few years removed from the Super Bowl. It'll be interesting to see if Jimmy Garoppolo is still on the roster or if they find a trading partner and then if Trey Lance ends up being their guy. And then the Broncos as well. We'll see if they end up with with that quarterback situation they have, or if something really does take place with Aaron Rodgers, which I don't think it will. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers week one.
That's it's very interesting to follow.
But we shall see.
I'm very worried about the Bills, the Cardinals, and the Falcons. Those offenses are going to be very tough to match up against.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. All right, so, we'll break here. We've talked about that. So, I promise when we come back, we'll their opponents, which to me makes my minimum of 8 or it's a failure statement a little, maybe a little off, because the schedule isn't easy. But they never are, right? They never are, because you really never know. We talk about every year, there's a handful of teams that made the playoffs one year, they don't make it the next. Obviously, they're replaced by teams that didn't one year, they do this year, right? So it happens every year. So who's good, who's bad, we typically don't know until midseason, right? So we shall see. But just looking at this thing on paper now, other than the division schedule, it's not exactly cake.
Yeah, it's not the easiest that they've had.
No, it's not. But I still think, though, I still believe that 8 wins is, I won't say easily attainable, but it's something that certainly they can get to. And if they don't get to 8, I do. I still think the season is nowhere near a success if they can't get to at least 8 wins. And I promise on the other side, I'll tell you why, as we broadcast you from Dick's Wings on the north side on 1010XL.
Compton and Company on 1010XL.
And welcome back to Compton and Company, coming to you from Dick's Wings on the north side. Also, visit us at Lakewood at San Jose and University. Come hang out with us at either location. Come by and see the folks here. Great people, great food, entertainment throughout the course of the week as well, including live music. We're here poker on Monday nights, you name it, all here at Dick's Wings. 641-1010, that's 641-1010, text line, the phone lines. We'll go to Gary here in a few moments, but before we do, poll questions again are these. We had a quick update, Jaguars draft A, B, or C, and then also primetime games, the obligatory one against the Titans or the Colts on a Thursday night, 2 or 3 or more. Quick update, then we'll go to Gary.
All right. So the grade 1, A, B, or C, 54.8% say B, 44.1% say A, and we finally got some votes on C. We got 1.1% says
1.1% on C.
So Gary must have voted.
If you're Gary voted, then he called in.
All right. So then our second poll question about how many primetime games would the Jaguars have? 55.7% say 2, 31.4% say 1, and 12.9% say 3 or more.
So now let's find out if Gary was, if he voted and then called. What's going on, Gary?
No, I didn't vote. Very funny. Hey, guys, you know, I heard Urban this week talking about, well, Titans, they help in blocking and help Trevor because of the running game. But that's why I thought they picked up Manhurst in the offseason. You know what also helps a young quarterback? The middle of the field. A tight end catching passes in the middle of the
field. Oh, yeah. I agree.
Yeah. In the red zone. A pass-catching tight end helps a young quarterback, too.
Well, and again, it just – like, I was fine with the entire draft – with the exception of Luke Farrell, the tight end at Ohio State, because, again, I've said it numerous times.
It was a wasted pick.
It was a wasted pick because he's an inline blocking tight end. And again, I'd never heard of Manhurst, but, you know, when you start analyzing free agency and you talk to people around the league, they say, man, this might be the best run blocking tight end in the NFL, like, a sixth offensive lineman. So you've already got that guy. You've already got that guy.
Exactly.
And so why in the hell do you draft Luke Farrell? Other than that, and look, here's the deal, though. If that's the only issue I got with the draft, pretty damn good draft, right? So, but I was still, again, with a brother had Brevin Jordan, take a flyer out on him who went 3 picks later, the kid out of Miami. Go ahead, Gary. Finish your thoughts.
Well, I also don't think they had an impact edge rusher, though, either, Ron. And that was something they didn't address either. And other than, Josh Allen a couple of years ago, they really haven't had any kind of consistent pass rush, and I thought that was disappointing also.
Well, and they traded up for him. They traded up for the Jordan Smith kid. We'll say he's raw. He's a project. I get it, but I want to say he was Defensive Player of the Year at the Sun Belt Conference, and he's had back-to-back pretty good seasons. But, again, it's a lot of, you know, and this is where Urban Meyer, I think, he really believes in his player development and his support staff and the guys around him. I think he might be right, maybe wrong. We'll see. But he really believes in his staff's ability, wherever he's been, to not only get good talent, but take raw talent and develop it. I think that's what he sees here in the edge rusher and Jordan Smith from UAB, who's a former Gator signee that got caught in that credit card stuff down in Gainesville.
Right. I'm not criticizing the players they took, just that I thought they could have taken other positions, other players that I thought were more.
Oh, no, sure. I get it. I mean, you know what? I mean, you could have easily, bottom of the first, top of the second, instead of ETN and Campbell, maybe found an edge rusher there. You know, maybe you could have traded up a few spots and got Quiddy Pay. You know, I don't know. We'll see how it shakes out. You know, I think they look at opening Josh Allen, Chase on, those guys will take that step, right, year over year, and show, okay, well, here's why we didn't do that. Maybe Damien Wilson, linebacker for Kansas City, he helps as well. I mean, we'll see. I mean, right, but overall, for a pretty solid draft. So give us your grade before we let you go. What's your Jaguars draft grade, Gary?
C plus, I think.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, guys.
All right, appreciate it, Gary. We're gonna put him down for a C because I said no pluses and minuses.
Yeah.
So quickly give us a couple on the text line, and then I'll tell you why the Jaguars, if they don't get to 8, I consider it I shouldn't say a failure of a season, but a disappointing season if they don't get to 8. So give us a couple on the text line real quick here.
All right, so 0253 Texan says he gives the Jags draft grade a B. And he says there'll be 2 primetime games. And he also asked a question in regards to Gardner Minshew and asks, you know, what will happen with them? You know, people forget that he did win 6 games with a really crappy team.
Well, you know what? He did win 6 games with a pretty crappy team, but he was also a pretty average quarterback. Again, I'm the eyeball test guy. I get it. He ran around. To me, you know what? He was like... His style of play was almost like a poor man's Tony Romo type of a deal. He'd run around, you know, he could improvise, make plays here or there, and that's just kind of what he did. The eyeball test was, he's average. The stats looked a little better because they were playing from behind a lot. He made plays here or there, but he just didn't make many plays from the pocket. And see, and that's why, okay, when I look at the Jaguars, why the season will be rather disappointing if they don't get to 8 wins. Because, look, you take the Jags, and in that 2019 season that they're referring to, the Jaguars go 6-10 with an average Gardner Minshew at quarterback and a below-average head coach in Doug Marrone. And then you look at the rest of the roster. It sucked. Okay, the offensive line is intact, and guess what? They're all a year older, and it's not like we're talking about guys who are down in their 30s. Okay,
Now
Cam Robinson is a year older. Juwan Taylor's now in his third year. I know he took a step back last year, but he's in his third year instead of being a rookie. Cam Robinson in his fourth year instead of a second year. Right? Norwell, Linder, Cam—they're all now. Right at 29 or 30 years old. They're not 35-year-old offensive linemen. 30 is young for an offensive lineman. That's it. That's when they're in their prime at 30. So the offensive line should be better. So the offense overall, then the receivers, are you kidding me? DJ Chark was in his first year, right? So now all of a sudden, he's a better receiver. Chris Conley was terrible, couldn't catch a cold. D.D. Westbrook couldn't stay healthy. That's what you had at your receiver position. They were all good. Right, they're better now, right?
DJ Chark is certainly better
than he was. Obviously, you've got you go out and you bring Marvin Jones Jr. in, who had a lot of success, and an older wide receiver who can be the leader in that wide receiver room, right? So they're better at that position. On offense, they're going to be a lot better, okay? Would you take James Robinson, Travis Etienne over Leonard 3.8 Fournette?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
In a heartbeat. Well,
you can say playoff Lenny all the hell you want to, people, but it was still the Leonard Fournette here, other than a few plays where he squared those shoulders up and he got downhill, he was no good here. Now, his last year, he was pretty good. I'll give him that. Last year, you know, when everyone else is terrible, he seemed to pick it up a little bit, but he still wasn't very productive here. He was just okay.
Yeah.
Give me what's here now as opposed to what was here then. Then you look on defense, Unique Ngakoue. I'll take Josh Allen over Unique Ngakoue right now this year. Right now, this year.
Yes,
Josh Allen
too.
Will be more productive than Unique Ngakoue. Josh Allen will have a better season this year than Ngakoue did in 2019. Book it.
Yeah, we don't even know if Yannick's going to even be with the Raiders the entire year.
That's correct.
He's changed teams four times over the past year.
All right. Then you look at the rest of the defense on Taven Bryant. Okay. Well, they didn't pick up the option, enough said. Avery Jones, okay player. Clarence Campbell, look, great veteran leadership, but he was 33 years old in 2019. All right. Linebackers, Quincy Williams, okay, as a rookie, okay. Leon Jacobs, okay. Miles Jack out of position in the middle, right? We all talked that year, out of position. Then the secondary, really, Jared Wilson, Ronnie Harrison, A.J. Boye, Trey Herndon? No. So would I give you all of that? And then you look at the roster this year, a lot better roster. That roster is no good. The roster is no good. The quarterback was average. The coach is no good. I mean, Doug Moore may be one of the worst NFL head coaches of all time. Because he didn't do anything. Think about the images you've seen. Nice guy, whatever. Look, when half your football team, you're in London, and they go to the bar, they run out on their tab, and they run down the street, run like they're teenagers, stole somebody's lunch money, okay? And they're doing that out of town. That shows you there's zero discipline on that team. Zero discipline. And then you see Leonard Fournette that ran across the sideline, and fight in the Bills game. Are you kidding me right now? And he was a team captain.
Yeah.
He was a team captain. All right. And then you see him on the sidelines. Hell, he reminded me of Bobby Bowden, and God bless Bobby Bowden, one of the best head coaches ever in college football. Ever. Great man. But his last couple of years, the joke was Bobby Bowden has a headset, but there's no damn cord connecting it.
Huh.
What's he doing? That was Doug Marone, man. He'd stand on the sideline, he'd walk off all by himself like he's in a trance or something, like he was totally disengaged. So they didn't even have a damn head coach. Seriously. So you're telling me that the Jaguars can win six games with that bunch. Now all of a sudden, if you're convincing me and you're telling me you have a once-in-a-generational quarterback, you've got a head coach that's all about discipline, structure, getting after it, holding people accountable, both players and coaches, and a better overall roster. You telling me with one extra game, you have 17 instead of 16? You can't go from 6 to 8? At least you don't get to 8. It's a disappointing season. So that's why I'll say it's very disappointing if the Jaguars can't get to 8.
You're convincing me more and more, man. That's great. I like the way that you laid all that out. I'm a little cautious with that just because they're not coming off a 6-win season. They're coming off a 1-win season.
I know that. They got worse. But that was on purpose, though. Come on. That was intentional. Seriously.
Hey, we don't know for sure.
Yes,
but
we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Look, the fix was them. Urban Meyer said it. Urban said it. Me and Sean talked after the Super Bowl. We've been talking about this for a while, and then all of a sudden they get rid of everybody. And I said this on our show. Then I said, "Look, they're gutting this roster. They're getting rid of everybody they can for Trevor Lawrence." See, and what's funny, and I've got some draft grades from folks around the league. We're going to come back, and I'm going to get those comments and those grades. But they said, "Well, it's been complete." The Jaguars draft has been, as far as a trade with the Rams. And by the way, the Rams, by the way, it's, you know, I got, I was looking at CBS News. I'm going, wait a minute. And Michael corrected me. They were wrong. They had the Jaguars playing the Chargers. It's the Rams, not the Chargers next year, as the Jaguars play the NFC West.
Yeah, that'll be interesting against
Yeah, that
Ramsey.
Would be very interesting. So, yeah, it would be very interesting. So they said, well, the trade's been complete. It's, you know, the Jaguars got Travis Etienne, Clavion Chaisson, and they got Jordan Smith for Jalen Ramsey. That's incorrect. That's incorrect. Maybe on paper, that's what this pick did, and the player garnered you with these picks. But that couldn't be any further from the truth. I mean, it's you talk about a complete 180 from that. I mean, you really got to read into this thing to understand what exactly happened. So when we come back, we'll talk about what really happened, how all this stuff went down. By the way, is Gator baseball coming up here in a little bit? Is that right, Michael?
Yes, it is.
So
yeah,
the FM side, I think it's the FM side, going to baseball?
Yep.
All right, so look, if you're listening to us on FM right now, you start hearing baseball, you can flip it to AM. We're still here for another hour. All right, so Gator baseball on the FM side, Compton & Company on the AM side here in a few moments. But we'll come back, and I'll tell you exactly why that's flawed logic. It's flawed thinking when they tell you that that's what the trade was in terms of those three drafted players for the turd and one Jalen Ramsey. And we'll discuss that next. We broadcast to you from Dick's Wings on the north side on 1010XL.
Compton & Company on 1010XL.
And welcome back to Dick's Wings of the North Side. Ron Compton here. Michael Phillips producing the show, and Chuck Elliott is MIA. I might just fire his ass for good. I mean, not only, like I said, he told me Tuesday, hey, I may or may not make it. May do some things this week. All right, cool, man, just let me know, no problem. I never heard from him. Didn't call, didn't text. Say, hey, man,
come
I hate
on.
You.
Sure.
I hate you. Ron, you're terrible. You're the worst. I'm tired of you picking on me. None of that stuff. Just nothing. Crickets. Just crickets.
Man.
That's okay. We'll address that, Michael. What we'll do next time he's here, whenever he thinks he's making a good point, I'll turn his mic off. I'll turn it off.
Just go ahead and turn it off the entire time and don't tell him and see how long it takes for him to realize it.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be so much fun. I mean, there's nobody that I know that I would rather pick on more so than Chuck Elliott. I mean, it's such a fun time. All right, so we are here at Dick's Wings here on the north side, Yellow Bluff, New Berlin. Nice crowd gathered. Also visit us in Lakewood at San Jose and University. Again, we're here on Saturdays. Friday night, there's live music. Monday's poker night. Wednesday's flip night roll-in. Sit in the bar area. Remember, you and your buddy roll in. You guys, first. You play flip the coin night. Flip a coin, heads or tails. The winner drinks. Loser watch the winner drink while they drink water, like I'm doing right now. That's it. Every Wednesday night, roll in the bar area for 2 hours, and you say, "Hey bartender," like right now, Ryan's behind the bar. Heads, if you're right, drinks free. If you're wrong, pay for your drink. That's it. And then you know what? You can do it for 2 hours, not one drink, but 2 hours worth of drinking. All right, so. Before the break, we're going to go around and some draft so-called experts grading the Jaguars.
Oh, yeah. Real quick.
Yeah.
The Gator baseball game has been pushed back to 2, I think, because of a weather delay. So we are still on the FM side. If you guys are out there listening, obviously you know that.
Okay.
So Gator baseball, just for listeners out there, will start at 2 on 92.5 FM.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Gator baseball, you know what? And this is... I want to wish all the moms out there a very happy Mother's Day. You guys are a reason a lot of us mama's boys and girls are out here doing what we do today, right? I mean, in fact, I called my mom this morning. Her and my stepdad took a trip to Pennsylvania where his family's from, and I called to check on her, make sure they made it okay, and she won't be back until Monday, so we'll have to postpone our Mother's Day lunch/dinner. When she gets back, But look, I think Gator baseball made me think of something. Michael Phillips, I'm sure you heard the tragic news a few days ago.
Of the of Ellinger?
No. The dad, the mom and dad, the business owner down in Gainesville, his mom and dad's going through a divorce. Guy loses his business.
No, I haven't heard of this.
Well, yeah, one of the boys, 11 and 14-year-old boys. And let me tell you, this is a conversation I'm going to have with my baseball team today. You know, we always talk about hustle, grit, live life to its fullest. I mean, get after it, give 100%, all these things. I mean, I harp on them all the time. And also tell them to enjoy what they have and be very appreciative of the people that are around them, you know. And so I leave the park the other night. A very good friend of mine that I work with, United Rentals, who's been out on disability for the last few weeks. He had open heart surgery when he was like in his early 20s, and he had some cleanup work done recently, okay? And he had his gallbladder removed here recently as well, all sorts of things. Then he calls me as I'm leaving the park practice a couple nights ago, Thursday night, in fact, tells me, hey, Ronnie, will you pray for Judy? Judy's his wife. I just found out she's got leukemia.
Oh, man.
So I find that out. As I'm driving, call my girlfriend, and she tells me that three doors down from her, one of her daughters, her 9-year-old daughter, his friend, his dad, had real bad headaches, goes to the hospital, massive bleeding. 2 days later, he dies. I thought, wow, how fragile life is.
Oh, my God.
Then I've got a fellow employee, a sales guy with United Rentals down the Ocala area. My buddy Bob, he's got four kids. His 16-year-old son, Cole, he just had his fourth operation. He's got brain cancer.
Jeez.
I mean, he's a 16-year-old kid, man. He typically loves to play ball, all these different things, and this is what he's dealing with. So then I get home, and I'm not exaggerating, embellishing at all. Then I get home, and this has all happened. This everything I just told you. I learned all of these things within like my 10-minute drive home.
Wow.
Then I get home, fire up the computer. You know, I'm gonna. I had a few appointments. I made up Thursday afternoon for Friday for United Rentals. Get out, make a few sales, additional sales calls. That's how I start surfing the internet. Go to 247 Sports. You know, obviously go surf Gator Board, you know.
Yeah.
Going to Gator Board and see a story just absolutely, I mean, heart-wrenching. I mean, I don't know how else to put this, but there's a dad that, you know, married. Business owner, supply business or something. Very successful. All of a sudden, he's going through a divorce. And then he starts leaving, like, cryptic messages on Facebook. And it has people sort of concerned, like, what's going on here? So the people start getting worried. They start checking on things, you know. His boys, got 11 and 14-year-old boys, and one of them, I remember the younger son, the older son, is actually a Florida Gator baseball bat boy.
Okay.
And so the dad, kills both of his boys.
Oh, my goodness.
Then takes his own life and sets their lake house on fire. And it was Paul Reinhart. He was the 46th of Gainesville, recently lost a job as president at Reinhart Medical, a medical device sales company, and his wife is in the early stage of a divorce from his wife, Mindy Reinhart, 42, also of Gainesville. And two boys, Brody 11, Rex 14, both avid youth baseball players. The family was friends with Florida coach Kevin O'Sullivan. The UAA declined immediately to comment. But, look, live in a gated community, $900,000 home, lake house, all this stuff, on top of the world, going through divorce. And all I can say to that, man, you know, if you're out there, and you know what, and obviously he had to have some sort of mental health issues to do something like that, right? Obviously, there's nothing excuses that, and there's a cold, dark place for that guy if everything being reported is true. But what I'll say, if you're out there, man, you know, get out and get help, right? I just that was so heart wrenching. So all that stuff, man, Michael, I heard all every bit of that news.
Yeah,
came at me within like 30 minutes.
Jeez, man.
And I was like, wow. And it just made me sit back and, you know, because I had to get coached the game last night, you know, got my kids yesterday afternoon, and I told them the stories. You know, they're teenagers, and, you know, it showed you just how, you know, how precious and fragile life is,
yeah.
Right? It is. I mean, you just don't know, man. You just don't know. So, so a bunch of, hate to bring things down a little bit, but that's just some things I did want to mention today. So back to our Jags and all the stuff and all the positive stuff that we've talked about. And I mentioned before the break that there was, you know, guy comes out and he starts talking about, hey, well, as finally we now know what the Jaguars got in the trade. For Jalen Ramsey, meaning Le'Veon Chason, Travis Etienne, and Jordan Smith. But that's not true. Like I said, it's not even remotely close to being the truth. Sure, with the two ones and the four they got from the Rams for Jalen Ramsey, that's absolutely what they got. But what they're not taking into consideration.
On paper, that
is
maybe,
that, that started the domino effect.
Yeah.
Right? That was, you know what, let's go ahead and get what we can for Calais Campbell. Right, let's go ahead and get what we, you know, trade him, we'll get what we can get. You know what, Unique Ngakoue, let's move him out of town as well. Well, we got nothing for playoff Lenny. We'll cut his butt.
Yeah, just cut him.
Ronnie Harrison, hardly knew ya. You know, trade you for what we can get as well. So what that did was, like, you know what? Like I said, this whole the wheels were set in motion a year ago, an entire year ago. Urban Meyer said it. Hey, I met Shad Khan, caught the Khan family during Super Bowl week, and we talked about this stuff. So all these decisions were made by Tony Khan in terms of personnel decisions. This is Tony Shad Khan, man. Hey, cut. Trade. Anybody that can help us will do anything. And the decision came from up top. Don't play Gardner Minshew. Keep his butt on the bench because he might be just good enough to pull a game or two out of his rear end. Play the guys that's going to help us lose and tank. That's what happened. So what the trade really did in essence of Jalen Ramsey is start a domino effect that brought the Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, and also obviously now you get Trevor Lawrence, you're picking high in each and every round, right? That's what that does as well. So now all of a sudden, that also, right, it brings you Andre Sisco at the top of round three, right? It gets you Walker Little. It puts you in position to draft Tyson Campbell. It does all of those things. Along with everything you have in place as well, all the salary cap money. Look, the future is extremely bright for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Extremely bright. So then, when you look around at the NFL, and this is what a, you know, according to The Athletic, they go out and they talk to anonymous general managers of other teams, and they break down each team's draft, you know, in the following week. And this is what this anonymous GM says about the Jacksonville Jaguars. All the Jaguars did was draft the consensus best player in the draft at the most important position, selecting Trevor Lawrence has the potential to transform the franchise, but because the pick was known for so long and because there was so much speculation over which quarterback San Francisco would select at number three, the smaller market Jags seemed like an afterthought to some extent.
They really did.
Okay, but it goes on. This is their best offseason since expansion when they drafted Tony Boselli and signed Mark Brunell. They didn't really sign Mark Brunell. They traded for him. That's what I'm going to tell people. They traded with the Packers and got Mark Brunell.
Yeah.
They drafted Tony Boselli and signed Mark Brunell, and the evaluator said, "This is huge. I think Lawrence is going to be very, very good. If he is the transcendent quarterback, then the rest of the division is screwed." Oh, that's like, again, talking dirty to me. That's music to my ears.
Yeah.
The possibilities – now, this is how about this now? This is kind of silly. The possibilities seem to captivate team owner Shad Khan, who stages games in London annually, amused in comments to NBC that Lawrence might become a bigger international star than Michael Jordan. That's funny to me.
I don't know about that.
I didn't hear Shad Khan say that. I don't know about all that,
yeah.
But let me tell you, just like I was fantasizing about maybe being flexed late in the year, that'd be one hell of a fantasy.
And look, I mean if anybody can do it, it's going to be him.
Yeah, yeah.
He sold out all he sold out Fanatics. He broke their record for jersey sales on draft night. So he's already, you know, he's already kind of got the ball rolling a little bit in that direction.
Yep.
It's a good start.
Yep. And then he goes on to say, and then he says, what a ridiculous statement. And executive said about the bigger than Michael Jordan comparison. But then they go on.
Yeah.
This draft solidified what the Jaguars received in return for cornerback Jalen Ramsey. 2020 first-round pick Kalabion Chaisson, 2021 first-round pick Travis Etienne, and obviously 2021 fourth-round pick Jordan Smith. So these picks become players, and an executive said, if the Jaguars offer Chaisson, Etienne for Ramsey, do the Rams even answer the phone? So much of this comes down to the ability to develop players. That is a challenge for Jacksonville now. And that was my point earlier was, yes, sure, on paper, yes. That's what Jalen Ramsey brought into the Jacksonville Jaguars, but it was so much more. And I joked before in previous shows that maybe the best pick in Jacksonville Jaguars history, second to Trevor Lawrence, if he becomes what we expect him to be, is Jalen Ramsey. Because if you never draft Jalen Ramsey, he doesn't do all the things he did that led you to getting Trevor Lawrence. Because, look, if Ramsey doesn't do what he did, here's where we are today. On May 8th, 2021, where would we be had Jalen Ramsey got his five-year make that money, you know, off the Brinks, back of the Brinks truck and the megaphone. If it gets that five-year, $100 million deal then, the Jaguars right now would have drafted, I don't know, 18th, 19th, right in the middle of the pack, got Kwity Paye. Hell, maybe they would have gotten Kadarius Toney. They won't.
Maybe.
Urban Meyer almost cried, he said, when he didn't get Kadarius Toney. He broke his heart.
I like that.
Okay, I did too. Maybe they get Kadarius Toney. But you know what? Guess what? Ngakoue's probably still here. Ronnie Harrison's still here. Gardner Minshew's your quarterback. Hell, maybe they would have moved up and got Mac Jones. Who knows? But they'd be coming off of a 7-9 season. That's where they'd be, middle of the pack. But guess where we are now? Trevor Lawrence breaking all these records, doing all these great things. So that's what the pick really did.
Yeah.
It was far, far more than Kalabion Chaisson, Travis Etienne, and Jordan Smith. So bang, bang, bang to all of that stuff.
They had to take, you know, probably three steps back to take a massive leap forward, and we're about to hopefully see that come to fruition.
That's right. And I'll finish the article, and then we'll step aside for a break, and we'll come back, and we'll go around the league as far as different NFL experts and the grades and their comments for the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is new coach Urban Meyer said the Giants broke my heart by selecting receiver Kadarius Toney at 25 spots before Jacksonville selected Etienne, the running back, and Lawrence's former teammate at Clemson. And remember last week I told you guys, I said the talk was, and this is before, you know, Meyer came out and said it publicly, that they were targeting Kadarius Toney, and then They still wanted a weapon, and they looked at Travis Etienne more as a weapon, not just a running back. He was far more than just a running back, and obviously comments they've made about the usage of Travis Etienne, you know, leans towards that, right?
Yeah.
And then says here, Etienne is a big threat, big play threat, so it kind of complements what they have and would be a good match for what Urban wants to do on the offense, and the evaluator said. Walker Little is an interesting pick for them. He had an injury and opted out, but if you get a starting left tackle in the second round, that's pretty good. Little is on a short list of guys this year with the potential to play that position. All right. So we'll step aside for a break. We'll come back, talk more sports with you as we broadcast you from Dick's Wings of the North Side on 1010 XL.
This is Compton & Company on 1010 XL.
Hey, and welcome back to Compton & Company, coming to you from Dick's Wings on the North Side. Hey, how about from 2 to 5 today? We got a little acoustic action going on. We had an American Legion. You know, and I love American Legion. My older son played American Legion baseball. And also my younger son's going to play as well. So they had a nice, in fact, you know what? Buddy of mine that's done this for a while, we've talked about this. This is the 8th annual Boots on the Ground Poker Run and Concert. So at 2 o'clock today, a little music. A lot of guys have done the run. They're here hanging out. You know what? A lot of these guys are veterans, man. Come by and tell them thank you. Come listen to a little music from 2 to 5 o'clock. We're here at Dick's Wings here at Yellow Bluff and New Berlin Road. I'm telling you, man, great folks here. So come by and say hello to us. We're here until 2 o'clock today. Again, we're here on the north side of Yellow Bluff and New Berlin Road also. In Lakewood, San Jose, and University. And you know what? You hear during our show a couple of sponsors. You hear Barber and Associates in Williams and Row. Look, if you're out there, look, and I know that you go by a lot of places and a ton of people are hiring. And, man, there's a shortage on help. But I'll tell you what, if you're out there and you're looking for a job, and you're looking for more than that, you're looking for a career, man, there's two companies that are advertising with us on a regular basis. You go to BarberJacks.com, an outstanding, I mean, maybe I'd say the best commercial and industrial roofing contractor in Northeast Florida. Outstanding. Talked to my buddies, Brad and Tripp over there. I mean, just great folks. Family-owned business, benefit package, insurance, great pay. I'm telling you, man, great folks over there. And also, get over there and call my friend McKay and James Williams over there at Williams & Row. And it's Williams Row. So you go to BarberJacks.com. Then you go to WilliamsRow.com. That's R-O-W-E, by the way, WilliamsRow.com. And they are a general contractor, electrical contractor, refrigeration, same thing. Family-owned business since 1958. You name it, they do it. Get over there. Again, you're looking for work, 401K, benefits, vacation, all of it's there. Two great companies. So if you're looking for not just a job but a career, no two better places to go than Barber & Associates and Williams & Rowe. Telling you, great folks. Know them all personally. All right, so back to the Jaguars we go. All right, so going around the league, Michael Phillips.
Yeah.
These experts, so-called experts, right? Here's what they say about the Jacksonville Jaguars. Nate Davis, USA Today at USA Today. A+.
Ooh.
End of the day? Yeah, A+. End of the day, even if the only prerequisite to obtain Lawrence was going 1-15, getting a generational prospect like the Clemson star pretty much makes this a near-perfect draft, with a subsequent pick serving as gravy, even if the gravy here is scrumptious. Scrumptious.
Scrumptious.
Wow,
there
we go.
What a word.
Yeah, Luke Easterling, Draft Wire. It's hard to screw this up when you start with Trevor Lawrence, and the Jags did a solid job surrounding him with young talent and hitting most of their big needs in the subsequent rounds, Easterling wrote. And I'll stop there for a moment before I go to Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports. One thing I'll say about the Jags and what they brought in here. A lot of people, and again, the history of Trent Baalke has been, we're going to roll out and we're going to draft a lot of guys that have injury issues. And a lot, I'm telling you, you go to San Francisco 49er message boards, and the people, the naysayers about Trent Baalke and his time, they were, man, this guy, I mean, they took so many players that had injury issues,
yeah,
and they were great college, and things just didn't work out. And I keep thinking, what was the South Carolina running back?
It was
great.
Yeah, I cannot remember his name.
Took him in the second round, and never played the NFL. Never played.
Nope.
And I remember him saying himself, he said, look, I have no idea why they drafted me. I pulled a damn hamstring to sign that contract because I didn't think I'd ever play, and he didn't play, but he collected the money. And he was very good. Very good running back.
Marcus Lattimore.
That's it, Lattimore.
Yeah.
That's it.
He had
good pull.
1,197 yards as a starter in his freshman year at South Carolina. He was phenomenal when
he was fantastic.
Healthy.
Yes, he was fantastic, man. All right, so one thing before we go on with the rest of the comments. I think in this year of, not being able to bring guys in for visits and not getting to know some of these players, it might have been advantage Urban Meyer. Why do I say that? Because not only was he a college coach and he developed a rapport with some of his peers, but then he goes on, he's on the Fox Sports set. And everybody
yep.
loves those guys, right? They all love those guys. Going to cities, get them play golf, go eat dinner, talk to the coaches, all
it's the
these
good
things.
Life.
So you become buddies with these guys, right? So do you not think that Urban Meyer picked up the phone and said, hey, Kirby, tell me about Tyson Campbell a little more. Tell me about Tyson Campbell some. You call out, David Shaw. Hey, David Shaw. Hey, man, tell me about Walker Little, man, and his injury issues in the past. And, how about ACL? How are we doing? Right? Those things happen, man.
He was, and Walker Little was completely healthy to play last year.
Yeah.
He was all recovered and completely fine. David Shaw even said that he was looking really good, too. And then COVID happened, and he opted out, and so it just,
And they said that he looked like Adonis, right? Those were the comments from David Shaw. He looked like Adonis when he come back.
He was so excited because he was convinced that he was just going to maul people and wanted to see it, and it just, it didn't come to fruition.
And do you not think that he picked the phone up and called Dino Babers?
Oh, heck yeah,
Syracuse, hey, Dino, hey, bro, hey, man, tell me about, Cisco, Andre Cisco, man. Tell me about, his injury issues. How's that ACL, man? I see the stats, dude. He's a ball hawk. Do you realize Andre Cisco?
He was my favorite safety in the draft.
Averaged a pick every other game.
Yes.
In his career. Not one season. In his career games he played and started at Syracuse, he averaged one interception every other game as a safety. I'm telling you, I've watched a lot of film on him. YouTube videos and stuff since the draft. He's become my maybe next to the first rounders, obviously Lawrence and ETN, my favorite drafted Jaguar. He reminds me of Reggie Nelson. He reminds me of Reggie Nelson, man. He's just a ball hawk. And remember, Reggie's first year in Jacksonville, he was great here. He played like the eraser that he was in Gainesville. Then they changed coordinators, changed schemes. All of a sudden now, it's, hey, Reggie, you need to read things. You have a complex defense. And he struggled a bit. It wasn't, hey, go get the ball. Hey, Reggie, go get the ball. And he struggled some. Then he goes to Cincinnati, goes back to what he did at Florida's rookie season in Jacksonville, and he balled out, made the Pro Bowl.
Yep.
All right? So, and do you not think he calls Clay Helton? Say, hey, man, hey, Clay, hey, bro, You know, I know there was rumors about me taking a job at USC, but, man, no, I'm not doing that, man. You keep that job. I got bigger fish to fry. I'm going to go coach Trevor Lawrence. You stay in SoCal. Do you know how he did that?
Oh, no, he absolutely
and ask about did. And ask about Jerry Trufele, right? You don't think he did that? Come on. Come on, man. As much attention to detail as Urban Meyer is, right? Oh. And as much as he's structured in there and all those things, do you not think he picked up the phone and utilized those resources and those relationships he developed, not only as a head football coach in college, the college conventions where all the coaches talk, but then also now he's on TV at Fox and he gets to know these guys. And now all of a sudden, he gets more information because he's not the enemy. He's not the enemy now.
Oh, yeah.
He's just on the set, bro. So now he's talking about those things. He's getting more information. Now he uses those resources that maybe these other GMs and coaches can't use because, hey, they're NFL guys. We're college guys. You're NFL guys. We don't talk a whole lot. Urban's going to use those resources. I'm telling you right now, man. So I think it's a slam dunk. Go, Jags. Go. Come on, man.
Yeah. To further that point, in regards to, you know, like drafting these guys, he's going to have a leg up, I think, for at least the next few years against all coaches in the NFL because he's the most recent. He's more tied in and more connected to the college game than any of these other guys, obviously, like you just mentioned and you broke it down. Also, with coming into the NFL and coaching, you know, each week during the season, I think isn't going to be as hard for him as it may have been back in the past for some other guys because you're able to just stay connected with people so much more so nowadays. And he's mentioned numerous times how much he's connected and talked to the guys that he's coached before from Florida, Ohio State, Alex Smith from Utah, all these guys that he's, you know, been involved with and talked to them about the NFL game and how to best prepare for it. He said that he's been doing that about for a year.
Yep.
And so he's not going to be, you know, completely, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed just coming out completely new with this. He has a really, I think, solid idea. And now after having it going through a draft, has an even better idea of what the lifestyle and how to win and how to, you know, find success in the day-to-day and everything that goes into being an NFL head coach. He has got so much more of a better idea than maybe some other coaches coming to the NFL may have because he's so connected and he's produced so many great players in the league that he can get feedback from.
So, yeah, exactly. So now you're telling me you don't think this fix was in since last February? I'm telling you, man.
Do you remember when we were on Wednesday nights and I was producing for you guys? I was pulling for it. I was like, the idea got thrown out there. You mentioned earlier about Shad Khan and Urban Meyer talking at the Super Bowl. And the story became like, oh, will Urban Meyer maybe consider the Jags? And we almost laughed it off like, haha, that's never going to happen. That'd be so cool. And then it happens.
Well, you know what? And I would have, you know what? Here's the thing. Whenever they got to the point where it looked like, man, the Jaguars had a chance of being the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
This might just happen. Urban might just be the guy here.
Yeah.
And the one comment, the one phrase I said so many times regarding this is short-term pain for long-term gain.
True.
And that's where we are, right? I mean, that's absolutely – you know, that's it, man. And the schedule is being released on Wednesday. So we're going to break one more time because here's the deal, man. When I leave here, I'm going to rush home. I'm going to get my kids. And then I got to roll all the way to Baker County. How about this?
Woo.
My doubleheaders, 4-6. It's not like it's late. I mean, I'm talking about I'm going to be, you know, on the hop when I leave here. So we're going to sort of lengthen the last segment. We're going to go to about 1:52-ish and then get out of here a little early. So we're going to step aside one more time right now, come back and close it out. And hey, our acoustics guy, he's getting ready. He's about to start playing a little music. So a little guitar action coming up here. So look, if you're in the area, you like live music, come by here. Again, a great cause, the 8th Annual American Legion Chapter 9 Boots on the Ground Poker Run and Concert right here at Dick's Wings. So come on, hang out with us. We're going to close it out next. from Dick's Wings on the north side on 1010 XL.
Compton and Company on 1010 XL.
And welcome back. Dick's Wings on the north side. Look, come by, hang out with us. A little acoustic guitar action as the 8th annual Boots on the Ground Poker Run and concert is ongoing here at Dick's Wings. And again, I'm a big American Legion fan, man. Look, they sponsor a lot of stuff, one of which is American Legion Baseball. It was big years ago, and it's big again now. My older son played for a few seasons during some summers. And in fact, one of my best memories, one of my best presents as a dad, happened last Father's Day. And again, I want to wish all the moms out there a very happy Mother's Day. Without you guys, obviously, we wouldn't be here, right? I mean, that's factual. That's factual. Without you moms, we wouldn't be here. And I think I've got the best mom in the world, and I'm sure you, Michael, you probably feel the same about your mom, right?
Absolutely, man. I love her. She's the best.
I mean, my goodness. My mom, you'll like this, Michael. My mom is the youngest older person I know. I won't call her old because she's 105 pounds, and she'll still get a belt out and spank me. So I'm not going to call her old. I'm going to say older.
Okay.
The youngest older person I know, she's 68 years young. Last year, Father's Day weekend. Was it Father's Day weekend? It was a weekend last summer. Me and the kids go out to her house. We're hanging out, having a good time, and she loves to try to do some off-the-wall things for my kids. She forgets that they're teenagers. She goes and gets a slip and slide, right? She gets a slip and slide, rolls that bad boy out there. Guess who's out there slip and slide?
She is.
My mom.
Oh, yeah.
My mom, 68 years old, just killing it, man, just killing it. So, yeah, so happy Mother's Day to all of our moms out there, man. I mean, all of you guys. You're so wonderful. So American Legion Baseball provided me with one of the greatest Father's Day presents I've ever had. So last Father's Day, baseball tournament. Like I said, they sponsored a lot of baseball. In fact, my son played for Post Number 9. Post 9, that's who he played for. So these guys in here right now at Dick's Wings on the north side are the very reason that I was given one heck of a Father's Day present last year. So now this is kind of cool for my son. My son, he was always like my older son, that is, was always one of the smallest, slowest kids on every team he ever played on.
Yeah.
He matured physically late in life. He's now 6 feet, 185, has like 8% body fat.
All right.
I mean, he looks like he weighs 215. He looks
nice.
Like just a freaking gorilla. And I don't want to fight him anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. So, but he was always so slow and small. So he'd never in his life hit an out of the park home run ever. So on his 17th birthday, he hit his very first one.
Oh, that's sweet.
His very first home run was on his 17th birthday. And so went out, found the ball, gave it to his mom.
Aw.
Okay,
that's
nice.
Fantastic.
Gave it to his mom. Okay. Last year, Father's Day weekend, got a tournament. There was some rain delays. So we had a game that got pushed on the Father's Day.
Okay.
Out there Father's Day. And my son, his joke is he always points, because he's very vascular, too, by the way, very vascular.
Okay.
He'll pull out an arm, he'll point his veins, ice water, Dad, ice water. Hey, he does, ice water, Dad. Okay,
yeah.
All right, okay. So, bottom of the seventh inning, we're down 3-2, two out, nobody on base, kid hits a double, or Berto hits a double.
Okay.
He's on second base. My son comes up, and that's when he looks over at me, and he points to give me the ice water. All right.
All right,
big boy, show me what you got.
Calling
show
a
me
shot.
What you got. Bottom of seventh. Down by one, runner on second base. 1-0 pitch. boom, hits one of the freaking treetops.
All right.
I mean, absolutely hit one probably 400 feet.
Moonshot.
It hit an absolute bomb. I go out, find the baseball. He signs it for me. Happy Father's Day, Dad, 2020.
Now, that's cool as hell.
I mean, I'm getting chill bumps even talking about it.
That's
I mean,
really
seriously.
Cool.
I mean, and these guys in here. I mean, seriously, this American Legion Chapter 9, they sponsored the team that he played on. How about that?
Man, that's a hell of a story. That's really cool stuff.
And dude, I had no idea that I said all these fine folks come in, and I asked the bartender Ryan, "Hey Ryan, dude, you know what's going on?" Right? So I see the leather and stuff. I see all the bikes. I'm thinking, what's going on?
Yeah.
And he brought me a flyer over, and I said to myself, "Son of a, you know what? Wow!" And I look. I'm like, "You gotta be kidding me!" So Poker Run, fine folks. You know, they give a lot, and again, they helped produce one of my greatest memories as a dad. For my Father's Day last year, son hits a walk-off. I get the ball, it's signed. And here's what's cool, is he and I, today I told you I have a doubleheader in Baker County, right?
Yep.
Doubleheader?
Yeah, yeah.
We coach together. So
that's right.
Yeah, see, so my boys were always – just 1 year apart from ever being able to play, you know, age-wise, on the same team. They're 5 years apart.
Yeah.
Like senior ball is, 16U is 13, 14, 15, 16. So my older son's last year, my younger son, he was just a year away. He couldn't do it. So this is the first year we've all actually been a part of the same team together. He and I coached together, younger son played.
So that's cool.
So doubleheader. This afternoon, out in Baker County. So yeah, cool stuff, man. Hey, that's what it's all about, Michael.
Yeah, man. There's not too many things I would think that could top that ever.
No, I mean, I can't, not for me personally.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's awful fun stuff. Look, we bounced around the NFL. So when the day started, you know, you had the Jaguars. You're thinking, maybe six or seven wins, right? That's where you were. The more I've laid it out for you now, how I laid it out, the 2019 season, we had a bad coach, an average quarterback, a below average roster, and they get to six in 16 games. Now, all of a sudden, generational quarterback, a head coach that every stop he's been, he has improved, whether it's Bowling Green from 2 wins to 8, Utah 3 to 10. This is year over year. Mm-hmm. I mean, this wasn't like his first year was 2, then he went to 8, his first year 3, then a 10. It was no. The previous staff 2, he goes to 8. Previous staff 3. He goes to 10. That's from Bowling Green to Utah. Obviously from Florida, he went from 7 to 9 and then a national championship. Ohio State, they went from 6 wins to obviously 12 wins, and then they get to win a national championship.
Yep.
Every place he's been, it hasn't taken long to get better in a hurry.
No.
So, and he's never gone to a place where all of a sudden you got – the guy that everybody wants as your quarterback.
Yeah.
That's never happened.
He
not year one. Sure,
yeah, not,
Chris
no, yeah, not, in, yeah, not sure. In year one.
No, he, not in year one.
Like,
nope.
He had Tebow at Florida once he took over.
That's right.
As that guy. And then you saw what he was able to do with mm-hmm. him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, look, at year one of Florida, obviously he had Chris Leak. Then they go recruit Tim Tebow, and he gets him, and he's the, you know, Swiss Army knife year one, then obviously it takes off year two with Tim Tebow and the rest is history, right? So, but he never had that guy. So you take the coach who's just an ultimate winner. You take the quarterback who lost a total of 4 games in high school and college, 2 in high school and 2 in college in his career, not in per season, his career. You take a much better roster than what they've had. And you're telling me They can't go from if Doug Marrone and Gardner Minshew can win 16 games. You telling me that Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer and company, they can't get to 8-17 games? Come on, man.
We were talking about this during one of the breaks, is that I'm getting convinced more and more by you about that. I'm not quite at 8, but I think 7 games should be the goal, and 8 games should be what they're really kind of shooting for.
So now, if they came out of the gates like 2-7, don't say I hate you, Ron, for building me up, okay?
We're just projecting here, people. We have no idea.
Yeah, that's right. We are just projecting. Hey, so before we get out of here, we have one of the text line that was pretty good that you were asking about early on. Let's go ahead and get to that now.
Okay.
Go ahead and give it to me.
So somebody, 7790 texts in and asks, will James O'Shaughnessy have a big year with the addition of Trevor? He hasn't played with a QB of Trevor's talent, which I found very interesting because O'Shaughnessy, you know, we have not had a pass-catching tight end outside of him, if you want to really consider him that. He's been the best one that we've had over the last few years.
And he's not even that. He's 20
really
ball guy.
Not, yeah. The most catches he's had as a Jaguar was, I think, 24.
And he's a, you know, Illinois State product.
Yeah.
I don't have no idea what he did there. All I know about Illinois State is that's where Tony Romo and Sean Payton were.
Yeah, he had 29.
And James Robinson, right?
Robinson. Let's see. Career all-purpose stats. He had 544 receiving yards, I believe.
At Illinois State?
Yes.
Okay, so he wasn't really that vertical pass-catching tight end
really
threat there either. So you know, here's the deal. Look.
Oh, wait, that was in his last season.
I would say I'm still hoping for Zach Ertz. Okay, I'm you know, and sure, it'd
Me
be
too.
A great story if they signed Tim Tebow and he makes a roster and does whatever. But look, we can't count on that, man. I'm not going to discount anything that he may or may not be able to do based on because, look, the hardest thing to do in sports in the world to me is in baseball. And when you cannot pick up a bat for 10 years, all of a sudden you pick it up and you're all of a sudden making plays. You're right. You made it to AAA with a cup of coffee there. Did great things at Double. Not great, but really very good things at Double A that warranted a promotion to AAA. That tells me that, you know, a guy like that might be able to make a little noise, but again, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh my gosh, Tim Tebow is going to roll in and catch 80 balls. No. He may catch 8. He may not make the roster, right? We don't know. So, yes, please. I'd love nothing more than come training camp, Zach Ertz is out there rolling around. You know, maybe, you know what, Zach, we'll even give you a single digit if you want one. We'll give you number 3. All you got, all you pass catching threats want single digits now. Whatever you want, Zach. So, but I really believe, though, man, when you look at this roster, the way it's constructed, I think they've got a chance to do some pretty good things here. But, yeah, but back to the question, text line, Shaq O'Shaughnessy, I've got to say that when you've got a big-time quarterback that sees the field very well, that doesn't stop at read 1 or 2, and he goes through his progressions, you know, right, and he anticipates throws a lot better, has very good pocket awareness, his accuracy is through the roof, and the arm talent is there. Those are the 4 A's, right? So I've got 4 A's. I've got awareness. I've got anticipation. I've got accuracy. I've got arm talent. And obviously, Trevor Lawrence gets an A-plus in all of those.
There you go.
So that obviously makes everybody around him better, right? He does. Makes everybody around him better, including Shaq O'Shaughnessy or who in the hell ever.
Oh, Shaq Hennessy.
Shaq Hennessy, yeah, that's right. I like that even better. Whoever's starting in the tight end position, I've got to think will get more targets and more catches, if no other reason, because their quarterback is a guy named Trevor Lawrence. All right, hear the music. So the fine folks here at Dick's Wings on the North Side, for you, the listeners, I'm not even going to say it for Chuck Elliott because we may fire him. Michael Phillips, hey, these fine folks here, American Legion Post number 9 that helped me have one heck of a Father's Day memory last year. I'm Ron Compton. Until next Saturday, see ya!